Holy Spirit, as you have for so long spoken through your word, speak through your word now, that it might continually change us, forgive us, and form us into the image of the one who died for us. In Jesus' name. I mentioned earlier, the theme we're talking about today is the Word of God, God's Word. If you start at the beginning of the Bible and just start reading, you'll learn a few things about God very quickly. If you start at the very beginning, those are the very first words. Genesis 1, as we read, in the beginning, God created. You find out that God creates. Very creative. Heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was formless and void, darkness over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And then verse 3, these words we often skip because we get to the next thing. These are very important. And God said. What did God say? God said, let there be light. And then there was, like, God speaks and stuff happens. God speaks and things are created. But the very important thing, God speaks. You start at the beginning of the Bible. One of the very first things you learn about God, you find out about God, is that God speaks. God speaks to his creation. God speaks to his people. And not just that God speaks, God speaks and stuff happens. When God speaks, things are created. When God speaks to you in his word, faith is created. Trust is created. You trust Jesus who died for you. You see, God's words are powerful from the very beginning of time, which is why a theme of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation was a theme of the Reformation is God's word in people's language, reading for themselves. And that's how Martin Luther's life changed in rediscovering the gospel, was reading it for himself and reading that God loves you not because of anything you have done, but because of everything Jesus has done. And though you and I deserve judgment and condemnation, Jesus took that for us, and you receive childhood, adoption into God's family, and you receive forgiveness and new life. Where do you find that? It's when God speaks to you in his word you find that. So God speaks from the very beginning, the third verse of the Bible, and God said, we have a speaking God. And then the rest of the Bible, every book you find, God's speaking. From the beginning, he says, let there be light. Then there's light. And God creates everything else. You get to the very end of the creation story, God says, let us create humanity, you and me, in our image. Number of chapters later to Abraham, he looks at Abraham and says, through you, the whole world is going to be blessed. And then when God's people are oppressed, slaves in Egypt, God says to Moses, I have heard the cries of my people, and I will come down and rescue them. And then we read in Isaiah 40, God says, comfort my people. See God's heart pouring out. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Her warfare is ended. Her sins are pardoned. Every valley will be lifted up. Every hill made low. The glory of the Lord is revealed, and all people will see it together because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the grass might wither. The flower will fade. But the one thing that will stand forever is the word of our God. And then 2 Timothy, all of God's words, all of Scripture is breathed out by God, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that you and I will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We also read, the Word became flesh, became human, and lived among us. The Word in flesh looks like the man Jesus, who not only lives for you and dies for you, but when he goes in to heal somebody who needed healing, he looks at this person, and instead of healing him, the first thing he says is, I forgive you all your sins, which is what we needed most. And so when Jesus hangs on the cross, he's saying, Father, forgive them, my enemies, the ones murdering me. And he also says to the thief, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Those are the words that God speaks when he opens his mouth. God speaks and God saves. God speaks and creates faith that saves you and also transforms you. So yes, the word of God is a major emphasis in the Reformation time, as it is God's word to us. But at the time, the church, in that time had a history of leaders and councils saying contradictory things, saying one thing and then a few hundred years later saying another thing. Eventually, those things were contradicting the Bible as well. So one of the things talked about already was the sale of indulgences. Nowhere in the Bible, but it's going on. And so when Martin Luther rediscovers the gospel of Jesus in the Word, he says, you know what? God's Word must be our final authority. Where do I go to meet God? Word? Table? Sacrament? Where does God come to me? God comes to me here and here. Where do I go to hear God's voice? The Word. Where do I go to find out that Jesus loves me enough to live and die and rise for me? I'm going to hear that in God's Word. Except in the late Middle Ages, there was an accessibility problem. Couldn't read it. If we were in the Middle Ages, there would be one Bible for Holland and to be at Western Seminary, and it'd be in Latin. And I probably would know Latin because that's what of my training, so then there'd be one of us, right? But I had to be telling you the truth, and you had to believe me that I was telling the truth for you to know what it said. That's often how that worked, and it didn't work very well. And so when Luther reads the Bible and sees what God's Word really says, he wants you to read it too. So the fact that we all now may have multiple copies of the Scriptures in our homes and take that for granted, that is a gift. Huge gift. So we're going to watch three clips today, mostly shorter, from the Luther movie. The first one follows up the trouble he's getting into due to speaking out against the sale of indulgences, and you'll see him talking with the emissary of Prince Frederick Spalatin, a friend of his, about that, but then you see him preaching about God's Word. So we'll watch that first, and then I'll say a bit after that. Do you mind just clicking on it, Kent?
Why was Prince Frederick not apprised of your letter to Albert of Mainz? Why?
I did not want him compromised. Now our prince can swear before God he had no knowledge of my writings or my criticism of the Archbishop.
Criticism of the Archbishop? What of your criticism of Rome? Do you have any idea how embarrassing this is to Prince Frederick? His prized professor of theology, drawing condemnation from the Pope?
My criticism was not of the Holy Father himself, but of those rogues who claim to represent him.
You have been summoned to appear by Rome. You're threatened with excommunication.
I'm a loyal son of the church. I don't believe the Pope would issue such a summons.
Welcome to the world of politics, Doctor. Martin. Lay low. Do not write a single word to anyone until I have a chance to sort this out.
They've already published my explanations of the 95 thesis. I dedicated it to Pope Leo.
Clearly you've heard the rumors that the Pope has summoned me to Augsburg. Well, it's true. It's true, and I pray fervently he will find no fault with me. But think on this while I am gone. We obsess over relics, indulgences, pilgrimages to holy places. Yet all the time, there is Christ. Christ here. In every corner, in every hour of the day. He isn't found in the bones of saints, but here, in your love for each other, in your love for one another, in his sacraments, and in God's holy word. If we live the word by faith.
In love and service to one another, we need fear no man's judgment.
Martin, the faculty stands behind you. I have written a letter of protest, and I'll be the first to sign should they arrest you in Augsburg.
Thank you, Constable. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Father,
are you in trouble? What happens now?
I honestly don't know.
Well,
Father, thank you. Thank you, Father.
Just try to keep your big mouth shut.
If you know the history here well, the next two clips you realize are out of chronological order because they follow the theme for today of God's Word, God speaking through His Word and the power of God's Word. So eventually gets on trial at Worms, the Imperial Diet in 1521, and is essentially condemned there and then goes into hiding in Wartburg Castle. But it's there that he translates the New Testament into German in a very short period of time because he wants people to read God's Word for themselves in their own language. Ministries like Wycliffe Bible Translators do that today. They go to unreached people groups without words in their own, they call it heart language of God's Word, and they translate so that people can read and hear the gospel in their own language, because hearing that God loves you in your own mother tongue sounds different than hearing it in Latin, because I don't speak Latin, or hearing it in Spanish because I know a little bit of it. It's not the same. And so ministries like that are doing this in modern day, because they know that God's Word is powerful, and it can't just change your life, and doesn't just have the power to change your life and your family. It even has the power to change whole family systems and how people treat each other, and even whole societies. And so he knows the power of God's Word and wants that into people's own language. And so here, the next clip is him. He's at the Wartburg Castle, but I will tell you, he was alone. And he could be crabby anyways, and so he's alone and crabby at the castle while translating the Bible.
I asked for a Greek New Testament. I need proper books, not this rubbish. And a Greek-German dictionary.
Leave us?
And a Greek-Latin dictionary.
This is not the time, Martin.
Well, the Emperor's gonna burn me anyway.
He'll burn us all. This is treason.
To have a New Testament in German, in words ordinary people can understand.
Yes. It's the thing Rome fears most.
Well, you must blame the author for that.
And one more.
How's the work?
Tricky. Words are like children. The more care you lavish on them, the more they demand.
Rather like women.
I wouldn't know. Take this verse in St. Luke. It is the Father's will that nothing be lost. In our language, the word will denotes strength, willpower, bending someone to your will. But in the original Greek, this three-letter word denotes passion, fire, inner organs. It can mean beloved, desire, even sexual desire.
Eat your porridge.
You're not even listening. Besides, porridge does nothing for my bowels. It's not the word that's important, but what it's saying about God.
You are too much alone here.
You are too much alone here. Oh, very good, Spalatin. 2 weeks since you last came. Of course I'm too much alone. How can I write for our people when I don't live among them? The language of the Bible should be like a mother talking to her children.
I think that's how God wants it, like a parent talking to their children. God speaks to you in his word. And often yet we, you know, how hard is it to, you know, actually spend time here? It's much easier in some ways to spend time with other people's words, but yet other people's words at some point will fail you. My own words will fail you and fail me. Your own words and your feelings may fail you, but God never will. You see, we often say things like, well, just trust in yourself or follow your heart or just look inside and you'll know the answer. And we've heard enough, so it sounds good. But if we're honest, we can fool ourselves so easily. Our hearts can trick us. Our own words can deceive us. Our own minds can deceive us. Other people's words can hurt or even trick us. But God's never will. God speaks. And when God speaks, there is truth. There is love, there is forgiveness, and there is new life. Jesus looks at his disciples and says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. And a few verses later, he says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, yet are justified freely by his grace as a gift because of what Jesus did for you. Jesus has cleansed you. He has given you life, and you have the voice of God and the truth of God in his word. And God's word is nothing more than God's story being played out for you. It is God's story of God saving you. Of God saying, my people, my creation are lost on their own, and I will not let that happen. It is God rescuing you at his own expense. God's word is God's story of him rescuing you at the expense of the life, death, and resurrection of his son. It is God reclaiming you as his child. God speaks, God saves, and God transforms you. So may the peace of God, which passes all our understandings, guard and keep your hearts and mind in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.